the Bible, the Tanakh and the Quran. The scriptures upon which the three Abrahamic faiths are founded are at the heart of a practice which began among university professors in the West, but which has now spread to all kinds of other settings and surroundings. The technical term for this practice is scriptural reasoning, and put simply, it means meeting with people from other faiths to study a passage of scripture together, reflecting on its relevance for believers of the different traditions today.
It began in academic settings, but it has since spread to schools, to various sorts of conferences. There's an initiative in prisons. It has happened in civil society settings where people gathered from local groups and also just at the level of local congregations.
David Ford is Regius Professor of Divinity at Cambridge University in the UK and Director of the Cambridge Interfaith Programme, which has been promoting the practice of scriptural reasoning for almost a decade. Professor Ford was here in Rome recently to give a keynote lecture on interfaith developments at the Pontifical Angelicum University. I caught up with him to find out more.
I think it presumes that you are interested in your own scriptures and have some knowledge of them. You don't have to know any of the other scriptures because the basic principle is one of mutual hospitality, that you host Jews and Muslims to your Christian scriptures and they likewise host to their scriptures. And so each is host and guest at the gathering.
This sounds like something very easy to do in a comfortable setting like the UK or the States, but not so easy to do in countries where interfaith tensions are very high. And yet you say it goes on, doesn't it, in places like Pakistan or the Middle East?
Yes. One of our graduates from Cambridge who began to work with the Three Faiths Forum in London and developed a thing called Tools for Trialogue, which was for use in schools among children in studying the three scriptures on particular themes. And that worked very, very well in schools. And she then emigrated to Israel with her husband, and she is living there now. And she is now the representative of the Three Faiths Forum in the Middle East. And she has begun doing scriptural reasoning in hospitals there, both in Israel and the Palestinian territories. And so she gathers Christians, Muslims and Jews who are part of the staff, and they reflect together around texts usually relevant to healing and health in the three scriptures.
And the goal of this, is it just an end in itself, or is there, can it somehow feed into a bigger programme of interfaith work?
I think both. I think the purity of intention in doing it because it's a good thing to do in itself, because it's lovely to read one's scriptures, that's a very good thing basically. And I don't think it's all that healthy to be too instrumental in it. You know, you're not doing it primarily in order to, with an ulterior motive. But actually, there are all sorts of overflows of this practice, and it leads to collaborations, it leads to thinking about a range of topics, and those can be very practical topics, the sorts of things you can collaborate on and so forth. And it also has proved very helpful in the follow-through to interfaith engagements like A Common Word, for example. Now, that was only between Christians and Muslims, but in the aftermath to that, there were various conferences, and there still are new things going on. And the scriptural reasoning method of coming together and studying scripture was particularly relevant to that, because that, of course, was based on texts from the two scriptures on love of God and love of neighbour.
So have you seen some really concrete, practical examples of where this kind of work has really helped to push forward, if you like, a greater understanding? You're talking about this initiative, the Common Word, but in other countries, perhaps, where specific groups have managed to make real progress?
Well, the people who take part in scripture reasoning, usually scriptural reasoning doesn't do that corporately, so to speak, but the range of people involved in it, they go off and do all sorts of things. I mean, the most immediate one for me personally is that the Cambridge Interfaith Programme that I'm the director of would not exist without scriptural reasoning, because the core people involved in it have all been involved in scriptural reasoning, and it was founded because scriptural reasoning proved to be a practice, the only practice that I've ever found that brought people together long term into a collegial relationship in which you could genuinely engage in issues of faith and also have genuine differences with each other, not just trying to seek where you agree, but also have real differences. And so I was so moved by that, but so were others, both Christians, you know, Christians, Jews and Muslims, that the Cambridge Interfaith Programme was founded. And what's happening now is that, if you like, the sort of DNA that is involved in scriptural reasoning is feeding into one thing after another. We've got, I mean, loads of research projects on the academic side, but also into a range of cultural programmes in relation to a literary festival, a film festival, a leadership programme where we get young religious leaders from various parts of the world, and scriptural reasoning is part of that process, and many other initiatives, and even a gardens project to ask what sort of a garden would you create if you engaged with the Muslim, Christian and Jewish traditions in relation to gardens.
You were talking about the 2008 Synod on the Word of God and the interest within that meeting and within the documents that flowed from that. Do you see the Catholic Church as very much on board with this kind of idea?
Well, I think one of the most profound things to have happened in the 20th century in the Catholic Church was the whole movement of ressourcement, of going back to sources. And that affected practically every area of the Catholic Church, from liturgy to religious orders to training of priests to theology and so on and so forth. And the Bible, the recovery of the Bible, was a massive part of that. I think Dei Verbum, the Vatican II document on Revelation, was one of the most important in the Council. I think most people would agree it was very important. But that is not, it didn't just stop there. It got into the bloodstream of world Catholicism worldwide, notably through the liturgy, the fact that so much more of the New Testament was being presented in readings, and a huge amount more of the Old Testament came into the liturgy. And but since then, there have been a series of really superb Vatican documents on scriptures, both scripture use within Christianity, but also in relation to Judaism, the Jewish scriptures. And then the 2008 Synod was the culmination of that, because it said very clearly not only that scriptures are very important for Catholics, but also very important ecumenically, and also a strong affirmation of using the scriptures to engage with Jews and with Muslims and even other faiths as well, but notably with Jews and with Muslims. And so that 2008 Synod has affirmed something that I think it is one of the most interesting things to watch in the Catholic Church at the moment, how worldwide that has an impact on the ways in which Catholics engage with those of other faiths.
The Synod, of course, brings together church leaders, the bishops, with some observers, lay people and religious as well, but largely at leadership level. And yet what you're talking about is more grassroots work, isn't it? Do you see an interaction between the two?
Oh, yes. I think one of the most salutary things to have seen in the Catholic reception of the Bible in recent decades has been the way in which, from the Pope down to local communities, the practice of Lectio Divina has spread. There are now hundreds of thousands, it may even be millions, of people around the world who engage in Lectio Divina, that sort of meditative engagement with Scripture. And it is now a practice that there's a lot of materials for, a lot of organisations. And one of the delights has been that an organisation that I'm a vice president of, the Bible Society, joins with many Catholic diocese in various parts of the world in order to sponsor Lectio Divina. And one of my hopes is that Lectio might have a use in interfaith engagement too, because if you can meditate together on the Christian scriptures like that, then one should be able to have a practice of meditating together on the Tanakh and on the Quran as well. And we have, in fact, in Cambridge, been approached by some Benedictine sisters in order to who practice Lectio and who wanted to try this out. So we have a day booked soon in order to bring together Muslims, Christians and Jews with the sisters in order to see how this might work out.
There is also concern, though, isn't the Catholic, within the Catholic world, a certain fear of confusion, of syncretism, it's often called, about confusion between the different faiths and indeed between the different scriptures.
Yes, and that is a deep concern, actually, of scriptural reasoning, that there are many forms of interfaith engagement that are a bit mushy in the middle, you know, that try to go for common ground when really you have to affirm very vigorously that there are deep differences. And what we find is that to have the scriptures on the table really safeguards against that, because if you see how Jews interpret their scriptures and how Christians interpret the same scriptures, the book of Isaiah, for example, there's no doubt at all, if you look at the traditions of interpretation, how very deeply different they are. And of course, when you bring the Quran into it, that is utterly different. There's no danger of syncretism at all. But there is this possibility of having deeper understanding of where each is coming from, and therefore deeper understanding of those differences, so that you improve the quality of your disagreements. I think one of the problems in our world is not that there are disagreements, there will always be within each of our traditions and between them, but that those differences often lead to enmities or even conflicts. And to improve the quality of our disagreements mean that we grow in understanding of where others are coming from, and we can be friends as well as disagree.
My thanks there to Professor David Ford, Director of the Interfaith Programme at Cambridge University.